This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
8:36 a.m., you are listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mokhtar with Wang Xiaoning and Keith Kam. Now, in half an hour, we have the opening bell where we check out how Bursa Malaysia begins the trading day. There's also a new listing today on the main board, Keyfield International. We'll check out how this plays out after the bourse opens. But in the meantime, let's turn our attention to what's happening in the political slash legal arena. Now, despite the 1MDB SRC trial culminating in the federal court upholding the conviction of former Prime Minister Datuk Sri Najib Razak in 2022. This case has taken a second life with the petition for pardon filed by his defense team, the subsequent decision by the Pardons Board to halve the sentence, and now the contention over a royal addendum that would allow Najib to serve the remainder of his sentence under house arrest.
Deputy Prime Minister Dato' Sri Ahmad Zahid Hamidi attested in an affidavit that he was shown a digital copy of the addendum by Meaty Minister Dato' Sri Tengku Zafrul Aziz. This has, however, been contested by Tengku Zafrul, who says he is seeking to correct the factual errors he claims in Zahid's affidavit on the matter through his own affidavit.
So what is the legal process involved in untangling the different accounts on the table? For a better understanding of the judicial process, we speak to Datuk Vignesh Kumar, advocate and solicitor. Datuk, good morning. Thank you very much for joining us. Can we start off with just getting an understanding of what exactly is an affidavit and how much weight does it carry in a court case?
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me. Yeah, basically, what is an affidavit? An affidavit is a written statement that has been given under oath where the deponent of the affidavit swears to state matters that, to the best of his knowledge, to be true and to his belief within his knowledge. Hmm. Now, it is very commonly used for court proceedings where court proceedings can be carried out by way of a trial where, as you see in the movies, witnesses come to court, give evidence. And the other way where court proceedings typically proceed would be by way of exchange of affidavits. So because an affidavit is a written statement given under oath, the weight that is attached to an affidavit is similar to a testimony given by a witness in court. Because what matters here is the statement is given under oath to state the truth and nothing else but the truth. Now, referring to your earlier statement that this affidavit is being used for Najib's challenge on the house arrest bid, this is to put it in a proper perspective. This is an application for a judicial review, where the court rules prescribe that the trial should proceed through exchange of affidavits. Now, typically in a judicial review application, you are challenging a decision or an inaction of a public body. Exercising a public function. So that's when a judicial review is filed. So similar to what the name suggests, you're judicially trying to review a decision, right? So here, the affidavits are being filed to, first of all, obtain leave from court so that the court could decide whether the application is frivolous or vexatious. You know, if it's not, then the court could proceed to give leave, and then the respondents, i.e. in this action, the AG and I believe six other respondents would have to respond again through affidavits.
What's the difference between an affidavit and a statutory declaration? Are they do they both hold the same weight in court?
They do, because both statements are made under oath, though the oath is slightly different. But in court, because the court rules prescribes the mode in which the proceedings will be carried out to be affidavit, therefore, the affidavit will be used to affirm matters as far as the court proceedings is concerned. But essentially, both statements are made under oath. Now, that is the emphasis that I would like to give here. It is not a mere statement because anyone could say anything, but when you say matters under oath, then you are basically telling the court that, look, this is, I mean, I swear to tell the truth and I'm bound by it.
Okay, so how does a court assess competing affidavits? Because from news reports, we understand that Tengku Zafrul is also seeking to submit his own affidavit to correct the factual errors in Zahid. So, I mean, how does a court line this up?
Well, usually in any court proceedings, we will have two competing parties, the applicants and respondents, and usually the affidavits will be competing, But what is interesting in this case is that the affidavit that has been filed by Zahid, who's no less than Deputy Prime Minister of Malaysia, and Tengku Zafrul is also a cabinet minister. Mm. So that really throws this whole thing into a bigger conundrum, because we're talking about two cabinet ministers from the same party, potentially, swearing affidavit, because we have not seen Tengku Zafrul's affidavit anyway, potentially conflicting each other. Now, the court would have to evaluate at this stage whether the application filed by Najib's lawyers, whether they are frivolous, vexatious, or an abuse of process. That's all the court will have to decide. Now, if the court feels that because the affidavit has been filed by a deputy prime minister who is in the cabinet, who may have certain knowledge that we don't have, and that justifies leave to be given, then the court is entitled to do that. Because, as I said, the leave stage is where the court will just have to decide on a prima facie basis.
Can we talk about the way that the judicial review application is being heard? The court has decided that the application will be held in chambers. What does that mean?
Okay, typically the law prescribes that any matters, there are two ways the judge can decide to dispose it. One is by way of chambers, as the name suggests. The matter could be heard in his chambers, where there would be no any other parties present except for the lawyers in question. Or it could be heard in open court, where public will have access. Mm. In all matters, including judicial review matters, the mode in which the judge hears it has already been prescribed by the rules of court. Now, certain matters can be heard in open court, certain matters can be held in chambers. On a usual case, though, these hearings, whether it's in chambers or open court, it's quite flexible. Sometimes matters that could be heard in chambers would be heard in open court for the sake of transparency. Mm. When parties are keen, when the clients are keen to hear the matter themselves. But in this case, from what I've read and also from Tan Sri Shafi's press statement, it appears that the court has given certain orders restricting media coverage, restricting court papers from being discussed or circulated in public. Again, to what extent this order covers is quite blurry at this stage. Mm. But in chambers matters means that, as I've explained earlier, that the judge would hear arguments by parties in his chambers where nobody else is permitted to be there. Now, the usually matters which are non-contentious, matters which doesn't necessarily involve parties hearing the arguments, would be heard in chambers. But this, I suppose, is a special case. I think the court has recognized probably the sensitivity of the matter, where a deputy prime minister, a sitting deputy prime minister in the current cabinet, has affirmed something that to me is quite serious. Because the implication, if the matter is true, is huge. And probably the court is of the view that this would lead to speculation. Of course, there are certain civil society group is of the view that transparency is important in cases like this. But the court has made its own decision, and we'll have to respect that at this stage. So answering your question again, in chambers matters are matters that the court would like to... especially in this case, to hear the argument without, the matters being publicly decided. Discussed.
Right.
Sorry. Yeah.
So in this instance, right, it's surrounding Dato' Sri Najib's house arrest petition. And if this judicial review is allowed, what would the facts? What facts would be considered by the court?
Okay. Now, house arrest. This house arrest issue is essentially a pardon decision. Now, a pardon decision means that, as we all know, the power of pardon is a prerogative of the Yang Dipertuan Agong and also the state rulers. And in this case, the Yang Dipertuan Agong has, from what we know, has given pardon in slashing Najib's sentence to half of what he's supposed to serve. The decision that's being challenged right now is that Najib himself is stating that, there is an addendum order that has been given pursuant to the earlier pardon decision to allow the rest of his sentence to be served as house arrest. Mm. So this is what essentially he's saying. Now, the most important fact the court would have to decide, first of all, is whether the addendum order exists or otherwise. Now, we have seen that Najib has positively asserted to that fact that he knows that there was such an addendum order. Now, that is purportedly supported by Zahid's affidavit, saying that he has seen a digital copy of such letter. And interestingly enough, the source of his belief is through a digital copy that is in possession, purportedly or allegedly, in Tengku Dato Zafrul's handphone. Mm. Now, the court will have to decide now, first of all, at leaf stage, whether this set of facts is enough on a prima facie basis to grant leaf. Now, after leaf has been granted, the government now will have to take a position whether such addendum order exists or otherwise. Mm. So, the government then will have no option but to take a position. So factually, if there is such an addendum order, then the court will have to decide whether the government is now compelled to disclose it, and whether the government then would be compelled to follow that addendum order. So factually, as I said, because there are two stages here in judicial review, at this stage, the fact that the court has to decide is whether the application has merits on a prima facie level. Now, second stage is, since if the leave is granted, then the respondent will have to answer. The respondent here, largely being the government of Malaysia, will have to answer whether such addendum order exists. And if it does, the court will have to decide whether the government should follow such addendum order. Bearing in mind that though we have the pardons board, but under Article 42 of our federal constitution, pardon decision is a personal power of the Yang di-Pertuan Agong. Mm. So, having said that, if the Agong has, or the previous Agong has decided to exercise pardon in a way that, you know, Najib has alleged, then I believe that the government may have no choice but to follow such orders.
Dato, thank you very much for speaking to us and helping us unpack just how the legal process could play out. That was Dato Vignesh Kumar, advocate and solicitor, talking to us about the different legal elements involved in this judicial review application for the pardon that Najib Razak is asking for. In any case, it's 8:49 in the morning. We're going to head into some messages. We are going to be diving into PKR's achievements and challenges throughout its initial 25 years. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.